Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Friday, February 14th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we are going to be talking about Julius Ona's new movie, Captain America: Brave New World. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer Jeremy Mathai.
Hey, folks. Happy to be here.
Jeremy, I thought we would do general thoughts and then just dive into spoilers, but I think I have so much to say about this movie and the details of this movie that we should just make this a spoiler-centric episode. So I'm just going to warn people right now. We're going to talk about this movie. See it or don't? Question mark? I don't know. And then listen to our discussion about it. So I'll just kick things off here, Jeremy. I'd heard not great things about this movie going in, but when it started, I was like, okay, I'm kind of digging this. Maybe the critics just have their knives out for Marvel. This isn't as bad as I was expecting, you know? And I'm kind of like into the Isaiah Bradley character and his dynamic with Sam Wilson, who's played by Anthony Mackie. I thought the action was okay-ish at the beginning. I was like, all right, Harrison Ford seems like he kind of cares about what he's doing. And then as the movie goes on, it just kind of lost steam for me as I realized that, like, although it's nodding to some big geopolitical implications, it's just going to do the most dumbed down version and not really engage with any of the ideas to my satisfaction. So what did you think about this movie?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about, like, I mean, I was right there with you. The first maybe 20 minutes or so, I was like, oh, wow, this movie's a lot better than I thought it would be. You know, it starts out, I mean, maybe that's a product of opening your first shot on, you know, a profile of Harrison Ford being all grizzled and like back in Air Force One mode as the president of the United States, you know, obviously a little more older than he was before, but like just the gravitas that that guy has in this movie and the fact that Ford, I mean, to me, he didn't seem checked out whatsoever. He seemed like he was totally into this, having the time of his life. And, you know, again, like you mentioned, the action scene in the beginning, it felt reminiscent of the Winter Soldier and that sort of thing. The tone felt grounded and gritty and in a way that I was kind of expecting it to be, but wasn't sure whether they would pull off or not. And then I would say sometime around the point where I guess the assassination attempt on President Ross happens, and it kind of settles into this routine where, you know, they're trying to play like, okay, who is responsible for this? Who is pulling the strings in the background? And if you've been paying attention to this movie whatsoever, you know it's basically a sequel to The Incredible Hulk for whatever reason. I haven't been able to figure out why you would make a Captain America sequel and one that's basically introducing Anthony Mackie as our new Captain America to the masses for the first time. Why you would take that movie and make it into a sequel for a movie that I distinctly remember nobody cared for at the time. The Incredible Hulk came and went, and it is the most forgettable MCU movie of them all, I would say. I don't know about worst, but easily the most forgettable. And the fact that they decided to take this route, I'm still scratching my head over, honestly, Ben. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's so bizarre because, I mean, I was paying loose attention to the development of this movie. There have been a lot of stories about the reshoots and all that kind of stuff. I think we tracked a lot of that on previous episodes of Slash Film Daily as we learned about those stories. But, and I'm not really interested in trying to dissect, you know, this part was added on in the third month of reshoots and this part. That we're like, I don't really, maybe there will be some sort of tell-all piece or something that comes out about that, and we can talk about that then. But as for right now, all that stuff would just be speculation, I think. But loosely paying attention to what was going on in the development of this movie, I knew that Harrison Ford was going to be playing Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross in this movie, the President of the United States, a character that was previously played originally by Sam Elliott and then by William Hurt, who passed away a couple years ago. So I knew that connection to the Incredible Hulk, because the Thunderbolt Ross character was a major player in the Incredible Hulk. But I had no idea the extent to which we were going to be expected to remember events and characters of that movie. And, you know, we'll talk about another one who pops up in a pretty significant way in a couple minutes here. But like, yeah, the idea that this is inexplicably a sequel to The Incredible Hulk is pretty baffling. I guess, did you watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Disney Plus TV show?
I missed it when it first came out, but once I figured out, again, like I put the pieces together and it's like, oh, this movie is going to be more of a sequel to all these other stuff that happened in the MCU as opposed to just the Captain America movies. I went back and I did watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I'm going to say you don't even need to watch that to understand this movie, because the characters are acting completely different. The plots that were introduced in that show are kind of been dropped for the movie. The tone is completely different. It's kind of baffling, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. The Isaiah Bradley character is the only real connective tissue, I think, that kind of really matters between the show and the movie. And the movie, I think, I don't know, it's hard to say from the perspective of somebody who did watch that show, but I think the movie does a decent enough job of like explaining who he is and a little bit of his background. So you kind of get it with him. And so, yeah, man, this whole, oh, I don't even know where to go in this conversation, Jeremy. There's just so much to talk about. So, okay, here's an avenue we can go down. Wakanda is name-checked a couple times in this movie because apparently the Wakandans helped outfit Sam's Captain America suit with vibranium. And I would argue that the first Black Panther movie is a film that has some compelling political ideas and actually engages with them. Like there's that whole debate about whether Wakanda should be an isolationist nation. And then, of course, the Killmonger character, the Michael B. Jordan character, his entire ethos is like a very relatable thing for a lot of people. In this movie, though, there's this big thing about adamantium being found inside the celestial corpse that is lodged its way into the Indian Ocean as an after effect of the movie Eternals, which this movie is also a sequel to for some reason. And you know, apparently this adamantium has this like incredible applications for technology, medicine, and defense. We never really find out what those applications are or how any of that is supposed to work. We're just told that. Okay, sure. President Ross wants to orchestrate this treaty that shares the resources equitably between nations. And so, A, there's no way the United States would lead something like that in real life, because like right now we're in races against other countries to mine natural resources in different parts of the world for minerals that help make things like car batteries, for example. And then B, even if you buy into the idea that the US would be interested in this kumbaya approach to a game-changing new element like that, Japan is really the only other country in this movie that seems like a player in these conversations and these treaty discussions, which just seems like so simple and stripped down as to render the entire thought experiment kind of useless. So I don't know, like the politics of this movie are baffling because it seems like it's trying to, or sort of like fainting at saying something, but it never actually does. Like, what would the Wakandans think about the introduction of adamantium? You know, they have this culture that is built up and has been secret for years and years and years, and vibranium, this element that only they controlled. And like, what would they think? I would be interested in a movie that is interested in exploring that. But this film has no time or interest in exploring ramifications of stuff like that. So I don't know. I just thought that was like, maybe that could be an entry into us talking about what this movie does politically or doesn't do politically, I guess. But what'd you think about that?
Yeah, I kind of, in my review for Slash Film, I kind of describe this movie as one that's just, it's chock full of all this like powerful imagery and iconography that like, it's bursting at the seams. You know, if you have a movie where you put the President of the United States delivering a speech outside the White House, and then, you know, he hulks out later in the movie towards the end, and it's just raining fire on the White House. There's a couple shots that have the American flag kind of in the foreground while all this crazy action's happening in the background. And it's just like someone like in a better movie, this could have had some really potent ideas about, you know, we just obviously finished an election here in the United States, and there's a lot of different political statements you could be making without, I guess Disney didn't want to alienate their fan base too much, but it's just, this movie has so many ideas on its mind and it just has nothing to say about any of them, which is just bizarre. This is such a spineless movie in a way that even like, you know, like you mentioned, a movie like Black Panther, at least it kind of went there. It, sure, some people said it kind of pulled its punches towards the end, and I can totally understand that, but at least it went there. At least it had something meaningful to say, as opposed to this, where it just kind of presents all these ideas and then does nothing with them, which is just, yeah, it's just weird to me.
Yeah, you can feel Ryan Coogler actually, you can feel that movie was made by a person and a human right. being with ideas, who is like going through things and like actively interrogating ideas and like thinking about what the implications would be in this world. And I mean, I don't want to like diss Julius Ona too bad, because I'm not super familiar with his other work, but like, it just feels to me from the outside like this is another case of somebody being sucked into the Marvel machine and having all the edges sanded off. And like, if he was interested in making any sort of statement with this movie, I don't know if it was the reshoots or whatever, that sort of basically like got rid of whatever salient points he was trying to make, because this movie is just kind of nothing, you know, there's just nothing there.
And I mean, I guess this is the part where we do have to address, you know, the reshoots in the room, because I do have a feeling that in its earlier conception, this script might have, you know, actually had something meaningful to say about anything that is trying to broach. I mean, even the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, that's diving into a lot of these sort of like, you know, World War II era politics, the Tuskegee Airmen, just all these interesting ideas about what actually happened in real history and tying it into this obviously fictional fantastical universe. And I don't know, this movie is just, it's playing in its sandbox in this pretend fantasy world while also trying to lean on sort of the political realism and grittiness that the Winter Soldier helped bring into MCU. And it's just trying to have the best of both worlds, and it just falls flat on its face, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. Like the Manchurian Candidate idea of using technology to activate folks into doing the villain's bidding is like a familiar thing. I think we've even seen that in the MCU before, but I thought it was fairly effective. And seeing how Anthony Mackie's version of Captain America reacts to Isaiah's assassination attempt on the president, I thought was, again, pretty effective. And I was invested in that part of the story, but I've seen other people bring up this point too. When Isaiah is imprisoned, Sam Wilson says he's going to get his friend out of there, but it feels like the Sam character is not nearly as angry as he should be at the government for improperly imprisoning this man again, after having already done that for 30 years. Like, that's one of those things that I feel like the movie could have used the Sam character to make a statement about the way that the American government treats Black people or treats veterans or, you know, any number of things. And it just kind of, you get the sense that Sam and Isaiah are friends or have this sort of alliance, I guess, at the beginning of the movie. They may not be best friends, but like they've reached an understanding, and there's like some good natured back and forth, like jostling about like how does Captain America operate in this world under a president like Ross, who is definitely like Donald Trump coded in several ways. And it just feels like real and like, oh, this is the type of engagement that I'm hoping for in this movie. And then as soon as Isaiah gets thrown into prison, Sam just doesn't really change as a character or doesn't really respond to that in a way that I thought was commensurate with whatever he was supposed to be doing in that moment, you know, like the, how that character would actually behave, you know, it just doesn't, it didn't really jive for me. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that at all.
That was actually, you know, it was a subplot in Falcon and the Winter Soldier too, of just Sam Wilson's righteous anger, and rightfully so, at just how Isaiah Bradley was treated by the government, how he's been kept in the shadows. He was literally, he should have been the first Captain America. That's an important key narrative beat in that show. And instead he was subjected to all this torture and just the way he was mistreated all those decades. And Sam reacts exactly as he should have in that show. He was mad. He used that anger to fuel him throughout the series. And in this movie, they kind of sort of hint at it in a, I guess if you kind of squint your eyes early on, and then it just drops it completely. It's as if he's totally fine with it. And he's, you know, the movie doesn't challenge the idea of him putting on, a black man in America, putting on the stars and stripes on his chest and going out to do the government's bidding. It none of that is kind of tackled in any sort of interesting or like any way that might challenge audiences in the least. It is just mm-hmm. the safest possible version this movie could have been. And that's just what makes it feel so much more disappointing than it should have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back. We have a lot more to get into here.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on myPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All right, so what did you think about Samuel Stearns? You know, Jeremy, we all know Samuel Stearns, of course, the character played by Tim Blake Nelson, character actor extraordinaire in the original Incredible Hulk movie from 2008. What did you think of Samuel Stearns being the main villain here versus Giancarlo Esposito, who's playing a character named Sidewinder, who is part of the Serpent Society, who, like, I don't think Serpent Society has ever really been a main factor in any of the Marvel movies or TV shows, and they just kind of mention that organization offhand several times here as if we're supposed to know who that is. And so what did you think about, like, the dynamic between the villains in this movie? I mean, putting Red Hulk aside, because that's like a whole separate conversation we can have, but what did you think about, like, the Samuel Stearns Sidewinder of it all?
Yeah, so I'm fairly certain, if the article is not live on Slash Film now, it will be soon. One of our writers wrote, trying to explain the villain plan at the heart of this movie, and it's basically, you're throwing up your hands and going, I have no idea what is going on here. It makes no sense whatsoever. So you have Samuel Stearns, you know, good news for all the Incredible Hulk fans who've been waiting on the edge of their seats, waiting to see the leader finally in action. After that tease, I guess it was in the last, I don't even remember, the last few moments of The Incredible Hulk, where he gets some of Bruce Banner's blood maybe spilled on him or something, and you kind of see him transforming in the shadows into the leader. So it turns out there's this mysterious buyer who's orchestrating the events in Brave New World. And surprise, surprise, it turns out to be Tim Blake Nelson as the leader. And he's having a great time, at least, at the very least, from a performance point of view. He's kind of chewing up the scenery here. He's really relishing the moment just to play a villain who has absolutely no background to him whatsoever, unless you remember the events in The Incredible Hulk, which I kind of doubt anyone does. But just like going full one-dimensional scenery chomping villain, he's having a great time. So good for him. Good for Tim Blake Nelson getting that paycheck, I guess. I just kind of wish any of it felt meaningful. I kind of wish he had any sort of personal connection to Sam Wilson as a character, or even at least thematically, which he doesn't at all. He's just kind of, you don't actually even see him doing anything, really. He's just kind of taking credit for what happens in the movie after the fact. So events happen to unfold chaotically, and then you'll cut to Samuel Stearns being like, oh yeah, I calculated the probabilities in my head, and it turned out exactly as I thought it would. So does that make me compelling and rich and interesting as a villain? And I'm like, no. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's big Christoph Waltz as Blofeld Inspector energy. Yes. You know? I am the architect of your demise or whatever. And like, really? Okay, I guess. Like, sure. And also it reminded me a little bit of Peter Sarsgaard in Green Lantern. Like, character had like more of a, I guess, a bulbous skull than what Samuel Stearns has here. But like the green skin color and like the like super smart guy whose brain is bursting out of his own head, like imagery wise, I guess it reminded me a little bit of that. But
he looks like he has a piece of broccoli coming out of his head. Let's just lay our cards on the table. That's all I could think about.
Yeah. So what do you think about the Sidewinder character? Because like the trailers kind of make Sidewinder out to be this big bad of this whole thing. And I think some of the reports from the reshoots were like, oh, they're bringing Giancarlo Esposito in. They're redoing a lot of this movie to make Sidewinder like a major player in this. And he just kind of feels like he's there for a couple of action scenes. And then he has like, I mean, it's no shade on Esposito. He's a great actor. And like, he does what he can with this material and like tries to imbue it with some gravitas himself. But like, there's just not much there to that character. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, there's not whatsoever. I mean, his one big moment that he gets where he attacks Sam Wilson. Sam Wilson's in his car just driving to somewhere from one place to another. And Sidewinder comes out of nowhere and just starts firing at him and all that. Even his one standout moment that he gets in this movie feels like a beat for beat retread of when in The Winter Soldier, Bucky attacks on that highway sequence, which is great. That scene is probably one of the highlights of that movie. But redoing that here in such a small scale way, which I'm sorry, I'm trying not to make a point about the reshoots. You have to accept the movie as it is. But that's one of those scenes that it's just so confined into the space. There's no stakes. There's no other characters running around. There's nobody in danger. It's just Sam Wilson versus Sidewinder. And that is just so painfully obvious that that was added in at the last moment. And every scene Esposito gets is just like that. It is two actors in, I guess, the volume set or anything like that. And it's just them, you know, exchanging exposition at each other or vague empty threats. And it is just some of the most boring stuff I've ever seen in a Marvel movie, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. So let's get to Red Hulk. What did you think about that? Because I thought the CG for the actual transformation itself like looked pretty good. I think the especially as the big fight happens near the end of the movie, it, like everything around that character doesn't really look all that great CG wise. It just kind of seems like maybe they ran out of time and money, even though this movie was already delayed out of a 2024 release date. But yeah, I guess Harrison Ford, like we were saying before, you know, he's actually like a pretty decent part of this movie. He brought some weight to this movie, some seriousness to it. And I think that he did like a good enough job where he was not part of my problems with this film, which are many and we've talked about. But I do think there's just something about that character that feels a little undercooked. There's something where Sam Wilson is just like obsessed with this redemption narrative for Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. And Harrison Ford talks a lot about, oh, I've got to change so I can reunite with my estranged daughter. And then there's also this rage inside of him. And it just kind of feels like a mishmash of ideas that never really comes to a that never really coalesces in a way that made a lot of sense to me. Like, it just kind of seemed like, oh, this is happening because the script is demanding it, not, oh, this is an organic thing that I would expect from this character. So I don't know. What did you think about Red Hulk?
Marvel's had this problem with Bruce Banner, you know, from the very beginning, from the Incredible Hulk onwards, where they've just had difficulties translating sort of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde dichotomy at the heart of this character into live action for whatever reason. I think Joss Whedon kind of nailed that in the 2012 Avengers, but it's kind of been hit or miss in the years since. And I feel like we're seeing kind of a retread of that struggle with Red Hulk this time around. I mean, I think it doesn't help that President Ross had no idea he was being slowly poisoned with gamma radiation, I think is how the movie tries to spin it, that Samuel Stearns is kind of giving him these pills to help him with his condition, that he had some sort of life-threatening condition, and he was giving him these pills to stave that off, and also sneaking in gamma radiation on top of that, which even by comic booky science standards feels a little wonky, but whatever, I'll let that go, it's fine.
Sure.
But I like the fact that like Ross never actually, you know, makes a choice to Hulk out. That's just, he has that within him and he's kind of scared of it bursting out at a certain point. It robs him of a lot of agency as a character. And it's just, again, you're waiting, you've seen all the trailers have put the Red Hulk stuff front and center. So you know what's happening. And the movie kind of plays it as this slow build up. That's the climax in the movie. And you're just spending the entire movie waiting for that to happen. So for me personally, this is the only point in the movie where that kind of like wakes up and actually comes alive and feels like something worth, you know, at least delivers on the spectacle, I guess. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one question that we can end on. But before we do that, I just wanted to throw it to you, open up the floor if you have any other aspects in the movie that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get into yet.
So I think, yeah, we did touch on this, that I just, Isaiah Bradley, just his entire arc, it feels like he just was not given the justice he deserves, as a character, as a plotline, as a, you know, as an important part of the MCU that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier kind of retconned into the existing universe. And he just wasn't done any justice whatsoever. And I feel like that's kind of a black mark on this movie. It feels frustrating that this kind of thing happens to movies like Brave New World. Similar things seem to happen with the Marvels. Where that was kind of cut up in post-production and just like cut to the bone. And it feels like, you know, these movies are trying to set up the next wave of superheroes, a more diverse compared to the roster of the Avengers before. And the fact that this keeps on happening is just, I mean, it's just a bummer, man. I'm not as invested in the MCU as I used to be, but like I could have been. I could have remained a big fan of the franchise. And just the fact that this keeps on happening is just, it is just so disappointing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition into the question that I have, which is, and this may be like a stupid question, but it's something I was thinking about as I was leaving the theater, which is, who are these movies for right now? Like, it feels like the MCU is trying to grow up a little bit with its audience, but the plot here is probably too boring and or convoluted for kids. And it's, as we've discussed, too like dumbed down or broad to actually legitimately engage any adults who want to think about this stuff on a deeper level. So it kind of falls into this weird nether region. And I'm just wondering like what the value is on Marvel's side for trying to tell stories like this, where they can't go the full way. And by only doing it half-assed, who are they serving? What is the future of the MCU if this is them putting their best foot forward with a new Captain America? You know, like I don't know if there's an answer to this question, but is that something you were thinking about?
Yeah, for sure. I've been feeling this way for quite some time now. I feel like phase 5 of Marvel, it's just been, again, it's been going through the motions. It's been kind of stuck betwixt and between, where they just don't really seem to have a larger plan in play. Obviously, that hasn't been helped by some, you know, certain things outside of their control. I get the Jonathan Majors stuff, Kang, the Conqueror being their big setup for what's to come, the multiverse and all that. You know, a lot of stuff happened that you necessarily have to readjust and change course and stuff. I understand that, but I don't think that's an excuse either. These movies have felt aimless. They felt like they don't know. They're trying to be too many things to too many people in a certain way. Brave New World, I get it. A lot of circumstances kind of combined to work against this movie. I don't know. There's just this. I've asked that same question to myself for, I don't know, since 2020, if not even further back, for when it comes to the MCU. And I don't have an answer to that. I really, really wish I did.
Yeah, man. I was kind of hoping that this would be a pleasant surprise. Like, this is the one that I probably had the least amount of faith in going into 2025, the Marvel movie that I probably had the least amount of faith in, thinking that we've got Thunderbolts coming up and Fantastic Four after this. And I was really hoping that they could do something surprising here, especially with all of the negative buzz about the reshoots and whatever. Like, again, I don't want to put too much on that because, like, there are reshoots for every single Marvel movie. We talked about that on the podcast before. That's definitely, like, a baked-in part of their process. And it's not just these movies, the most recent batch of movies. Like, going all the way back to Phase 1, there were reshoots for Marvel stuff. So this is definitely something that they're familiar with and they know how to use to the best of their ability to make something that ends up feeling great and can feel seamless and all of that. But I was just really hoping that Brave New World would be a surprising start to 2025 and a continued updraft for Marvel, because I like it when these movies are good. You know, we have to see this stuff for work and we have to talk about it and write about it and all this stuff. Like, I would love it if these movies were great, because I think they actually were great for a while. And it's not just me being older now. I think they were, like, the quality of these movies was actually much better years and years ago. And I feel like an old man saying that, but, like, I think that there's like a quantitative truth to it or something. So it's so, like, unfortunate, I guess, when I think about it. It's just they clearly are desperately trying to retain some sort of relevance. And I saw somebody basically say, like, it feels like the MCU is like a modern day shopping mall now, you know. Oof. It's just kind of like, it's so empty and just lacking compared to what it used to be. So I had that same reaction, like, oh god, what a body blow to the MCU that comment was. But I, after watching a movie like Brave New World, it's hard to disagree with it, you know. So
that's the thing. I used to be such a big fan of this thing, and to see where it's gone in the years since, it's profoundly disappointed.
Yeah, I said this right after the Super Bowl, but the trailer for Thunderbolts, the full trailer, gave me a little spark of hope. I was not really looking forward to that movie very much, but I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, okay, like, maybe this could be something. Fool me 10 times, shame on me, I guess. But, like, I don't know, I'm going to continue to try to hold out some positivity for this, just because I don't know if I could go through this job feeling like the full negative thoughts that I might have about this stuff to their fullest degree. But fingers crossed so that Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four can pull Marvel out of a little bit of a tailspin here. But we'll get to that as things come along. I think Thunderbolts comes out in early May, and Fantastic Four is later in the summer. So stay tuned. But you can find a lot more about Captain America Brave New World, including Jeremy's review, at slashfilm.com. I'll link to that review in the show notes, but we have a lot of articles going up about a bunch of different aspects of this movie at Slashfilm as of today, and then also this weekend and into Monday as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next week.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine.
Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.